Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the first lesson appointed for this Sunday. We read in Moses' book of Deuteronomy in the fourth chapter, the first two verses, and then verses 6 to 8 as follows. Now, Israel, hear the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. And then at verse 6, observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, it must have been a bittersweet moment for Moses. Here he was, standing before the people, God's people, whom the Lord had chosen him to lead. They were about to enjoy the day they had so longed to see, and he would not be among them. Moses soon would die in the plains of Moab on the eastern side of the Jordan River. After that, the people then would cross the Jordan River and would inherit the promised land, first promised to their fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but without him. They wouldn't even carry his body into the promised land, as God, without telling anybody else where he did it, God himself buried Moses' body on the east side in those plains of Moab. But before he died, Moses took the opportunity to repeat the decrees and laws, which included all of God's word, not just the commandments, but also the promises of the Savior. Moses had a chance to repeat those things to the people. And the repetition was necessary because you'll recall that of all the adults that had left Egypt, other than Moses, only two remained, Caleb and Joshua. So this was a new generation that needed to hear God's word, a word that they were to carry with them into the promised land, a word that would characterize them. It would mark them as different from the heathen nations around them. Decrees and laws, commands and promises that would set them apart from the beliefs and practices of those heathen religions there in Canaan. This new generation growing up with their parents, who had all died in the desert, had seen God's judgment against turning away from him. They saw that God isn't kidding about not giving his glory elsewhere. At the same time, these children of that first generation to leave Egypt had seen God's patience in his never-ending forgiveness. Indeed, they were a great nation because they had God's Word. They were a great nation because this Word would give them wisdom and understanding that other nations would notice as being different from theirs. Moses' appreciation of this, and Moses' thankfulness for this, and his desire to see this next generation faithfully carry out that Word of God so they would be able to retain the possession of the land, then ask the question that is the theme of our text. What other nation is so great? It is a great nation because it has the decrees and laws, God's Word, that God gives it. And secondly, that because it has that Word, that great nation can show wisdom and understanding to those heathen nations around it. Israel's greatness was not in its goodness. And that's true also of us, isn't it? That's true also of Christ's visible church. The greatness of visible Christendom does not lie in the inherent goodness of its people. The greatness of the church lies in the fact that the visible church has God's Word, the decrees, the laws, the promises that God has revealed. The children of Israel had received that Word of God in spite of the fact that they were not good in their hearts. In fact, that first generation, many of them had turned away from the Lord. Just before our text, Moses reminded the people that at one time, many of them had yoked themselves to the false god Baal. And we read that many men began to indulge in sexual immorality with Moabite women, who invited them to sacrifice to their gods. The people ate and bowed down before these gods. So many in Israel had turned away from the Lord and had bowed down to these idols. And God had struck 24,000 of these Israelite idolaters with death in the desert. But this new generation also had heard God remind his hearers, "But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today." So it was with that realization of God's sure judgment against sin and God's sure promise of the forgiveness of our sins in those decrees and laws and promises that the children of God were to carry as a nation that Word into the promised land. And that would separate them, characterize them, and distinguish them from the idolaters around them. What other nation is so great as to have the Word of God like that? There is no earthly nation like it. There is no earthly nation on earth that can be identified as God's nation or having God's special love and affection or care. The nation today that would be parallel to Israel is the visible church, visible Christendom. The visible church that confesses that it has God's Word and does have God's Word in law and gospel, and shares that word out into the world. In the midst of that great nation, there are, as there were in Israel, true believers. The nation that is the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. And it really was for the sake of them that Israel was a great nation. But it was a great nation visibly as a visible manifestation of God's people that carried the Word. Remember, they were the only ones of all the nations of the earth to which God had revealed His Word. And they carried that then with them across the Jordan. Today, the visible church also possesses God's Word. Within this church are believers who possess the kingdom of God, who by the Spirit follow God's will. But visible Christendom today is the manifestation of God's Word in Word and Sacrament as it goes out into the world. And so Moses' words are a reminder to us as part of that visible church to continue to preach and teach God's Word in its truth and purity. To preach and teach God's Word without adding anything to it or without subtracting anything from it. Sadly, this has not generally been the case in the visible church today, nor was it even in Jesus' day. Think of our gospel lesson this morning, where Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites. Because what did they do? They added all these traditions of men to the Word of God and said, you have to do this too. You have to follow these and believe these too. We see that in the church today when some denominations add different traditions and rules and regulations and commands and all kinds of things that they add to God's Word as it's revealed in the Scripture. God says also that we are not to subtract from that Word. That Word literally means to cut off, like you would cut off your hair. We aren't to cut anything off of God's Word because it doesn't agree with our human reason. You know, let's cut off that children are conceived and born sinful. You know, let's cut off that baptism and Lord's Supper are means of grace. You know, let's cut off that certain ways that we live are sins against God. Let's just cut them off. Or be like Thomas Jefferson and go through his New Testament and cut out every miracle, every record of every miracle that Jesus performed, because he didn't believe in miracles. Didn't think that Jesus would be able to do those things. As part of the Holy Christian Church, true believers, we want as members of the visible church not to add or subtract anything to God's Word. To preach and teach that Word as God has revealed it. To not include the words of men or our own views. Moses' words, as I said, are a stark and fitting warning to us. Here's the parallel. Moses told Israel, if you want to retain this land, if you want to be able to stay here and be special and show people who the true God is and what that true God says, don't add to or subtract anything from God's Word. Well, God would be saying to us who by God's grace belong to a church who teaches God's Word in its truth and purity, he's saying to us, if you want to be that light in the world, if you want to be that city set on a hill, you want to be the salt of the earth, you want people to see how special your God is in his forgiveness in Jesus Christ who died for them, and how special his will and his laws are, then don't add or subtract to God's Word. But be sure you're teaching and preaching only what it says. The visible Christian church today is like the visible nation of Israel in Moses' day. But it's not the possession of that Word that makes us great. It's believing that Word. It's following that Word. Because then it's not our greatness, is it? Then it's God's greatness. We don't reveal to people in our neighborhoods and our communities how wonderful we are, but we reveal to them by preaching and teaching God's Word how wonderful God is that he so loved them that he reconciled them to God by the blood of his Son who came to earth and kept the law and died on the cross and rose again. The Son in whom the Father declares all sinners not guilty of sin. And God has given us wonderful laws and commands that now in gratitude we want to obey. Not to earn his favor, but because we received his favor. And we want to show our neighbors how wonderful our God is that he loved us by loving him and also by loving them. And so Moses commanded the people, observe those decrees and laws carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Nations would say, certainly, or Moses said, certainly then, others will see that the idols, the false gods of others, are not anywhere near as close to their followers as the Lord our God is close to us. Those idolaters will see their gods aren't close to them because they don't really exist. But our God is close to us in his eternal and all presence among us, but present also in his word. God gave to Israel, his great nation, great aspects of law, moral, ceremonial, and civil, as they strove in thankfulness and hope in their Savior to live those laws faithfully. Others would see, you know, those things really make more sense than our weird laws. You know, look at what those people have, what their God has given them, guiding them in their lives. And when they follow them, what do we see in their lives? All other things being equal, we see that they live a better life. Their bodies are healthier. Their marriages are happier. Their possessions are safer. They're more satisfied with life, because they trust in that God who loved them to take care of them. And so they're not always coveting more and more and more, but are happy and satisfied with what the Lord gives. People would see God's laws are righteous because they come from a righteous God, and look how those laws benefit his people as the people use those laws to guide them in their daily living. But even more, wouldn't they see, you know, we're doing this and doing that, and we're abusing ourselves, and we're sacrificing our babies and our children, and we're doing all these things trying to appease our gods, trying to make them happy, trying to get them to accept us, because we recognize that we are sinful and deserve our God's punishment. These people don't have that fear. These people don't do those things to try to appease their God. Why is that? And God's people would say, we don't have to. God has already been appeased by the Savior that he has promised who would come into the world. And so you and I show the unbelievers around us what a blessing God's Ten Commandments are as they guide our lives. We show them how happy and joyful and hopeful we are because we don't have to try to satisfy God. Because Jesus already did. Jesus already satisfied God's anger, already satisfied God's justice, already appeased God's judgment. And so I have hope and joy and confidence as I live now reconciled to God. And I'll tell my neighbors that so that they can say, boy, that what a great God those people have. Look at the wisdom in that I don't have to save myself, but that God saved me. Look at the power of that God that has given them that understanding. And then also by the power of the Spirit brings them to that understanding. You likely have experienced something as I have experienced when we obey the Ten Commandments joyfully and freely in faith, or when we confess that we believe we're going to be saved by Jesus Christ. It always has an effect on somebody. When we tell people and show people by our lives how we want to live for God, many people are offended by that. Many people resent that, and they turn away. But there are also those who see, boy, there's something different about those people. There's something really good that those people have. I need to talk to them about that. Or I need to listen to them as they tell me about what they have. And that opens the door, doesn't it? That opens the door and gives you and I the opportunity then to show them the true God. To show them the greatness of God's Word. To show them and manifest to them the wisdom and understanding for life and for eternity that comes only in God's Word, that comes only through the cross and empty tomb of Jesus Christ. What other nation is so great? A great nation is the kingdom of God that dwells in our hearts through faith. A great nation is the visible Christian church as it teaches and preaches God's Word in its truth and purity without adding to it or subtracting from it. No people who worship false gods are closer to their God than you and I are close to our God through His Word. May our daily prayer be, Lord, compelled by the love Christ has had for me, lead me faithfully to hear Your Word, to believe it, and to obey it. May my faith and my obedience to You manifest to others Your greatness, the greatness of Your love for me, and also the greatness of Your love for them. Amen. Please stand. And now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ.